Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Well, we're not necessarily axing it. We're perhaps postponing it for a significant length of time.
The Alumni Welcome Center at Moorhead State University is off the table.
Enrollment numbers at MSU are down.
A woman who killed her stepson went before a parole board today.
Former LaRue County High School students are suing the school district and their former principal.
Grayson business owners are preparing to implement a new restaurant tax.
In sports, lawyers for newly ousted UofL basketball coach Rick Pitino say justice will be served.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear tonight with a low around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after the news.
An alumni welcome center at Moorhead State University is no longer in the works. During today's Board of Regents meeting, school officials announced the $2.5 million in donations will hopefully be redirected to focus on enrollment and retention. Jim Shaw is MSU's Vice President for University Advancement. He says the money is better suited for scholarships.
We realize that we've come into a very different situation from the situation we had 9 years ago when we envisioned this plan. We realized that to be competitive in an environment where we're really losing students and losing state funding, that we needed to provide the opportunity for our students to have larger scholarship support.
Shaw says the remodeling of the Adrian Doran University Center would make the new project redundant.
Moorhead State University's fall enrollment numbers are not what officials were hoping for. Preliminary numbers were reported to the Board of Regents during its regular meeting today. The university is experiencing a 3.3% overall decrease in the number of enrolled students. Assistant Vice President of Enrollment Services Tim Rhodes says there was an ethical dilemma that added to the decline.
We looked at all the numbers and we were admitting some students that data told us would probably not be successful. And so they're coming in, getting student loans, building up some debt, and then we knew they're probably not going to be successful.
Rhodes says it should also be considered that overall ACT scores and GPA of first-time enrolled freshmen have improved.
An official with the Rowan Sheriff's Department says authorities will need help of the public to end a continuing string of vehicle break-ins in the area. Over the last several weeks, around 40 vehicles in Moorhead and out in the county have been broken into. Multiple items, including guns, have been taken. While authorities are beefing up their patrols, Chief Deputy Joe Klein says it will take more than that to solve the problem.
Anything looks suspicious out of place in your neighborhood, you would know that. If we drive through there, we wouldn't know if something's out of place or not. So that's why it's going to take, you know, everybody coming together as neighbors and being a part of the help and watch. And when you spot something that just don't look right or look out of place, they need to give us a call and we can come and investigate and maybe try to identify who's in that area.
Klein advises against keeping valuables in your vehicle, and if you do, put them in the trunk or conceal them. He adds that if you leave your vehicle parked outside at night, make certain that it's locked.
A woman who killed her stepson 25 years ago went before a parole board yesterday. In 1994, Stephanie Spitzer pleaded guilty to the murder of 10-year-old Scotty Baker. She was given a life sentence with a chance at parole after 25 years. Ruth Rose was the child's biological mother. She listened in to the parole hearing.
And hearing it from her, I think, was harder than hearing it from the coroner's reports and all the reports that we read and heard. I hope that they call me Monday morning and say she's killed herself over the weekend, or the parole board has chosen to make her spend the rest of her life in jail.
That sound courtesy of WKYT. In 1992, Spitzer and an accomplice kidnapped the child. Spitzer strangled the child to death before setting his body on fire and burying the remains. The parole board has not yet made their decision.
Five former students are suing a school district and their high school principal, who was fired after being accused of uploading nude images from confiscated cell phones. Lawyers for the women say former LaRue County High School principal Stephen Kyle Goodlett and the Kentucky County's school district violated protections against unreasonable search and seizure and violated Title IX, the federal law prohibiting discrimination based on sex in education. Goodlett, who was fired last October, pleaded guilty to child pornography charges stemming from uploaded nude images of one student whose cell phone he confiscated. He has pled not guilty to 63 state child porn charges. LaRue County Superintendent Sam Sanders and Goodlett's attorney in the federal criminal case didn't immediately return calls seeking comment.
A Pike County woman has been arrested after reportedly leaving her child unattended in a car while she went shopping. EKB News reports 31-year-old Sheena Casey of Phelps was arrested Sunday outside of Food City in Pikeville. Her child was left alone in the back seat of a car. According to court documents, Casey also had active arrest warrants related to not sending a child to school. She was charged in Sunday's incident with misdemeanor endangering the welfare of a minor.
We'll have more of your local news after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
A Kentucky abortion law known as the ultrasound bill has been struck down. The Kentucky News Connection's Will Clark reports.
The law requiring doctors to conduct an ultrasound exam before an abortion and then try to show fetal images as well as play the fetal heartbeat of the pregnant women has been struck down by a federal judge. Judge David Hale saying in a one-page ruling handed down Wednesday night that the law violates the First Amendment rights of physicians. A spokeswoman for Governor Bevins says, quote, "We are disappointed in the court's ruling and will appeal immediately to the Sixth Circuit. We are confident the constitutionality of HB 2 will be upheld as similar laws have been in both the Fifth and Eighth Circuits." I'm Will Clark.
With just a few days left in September, business owners in Grayson are preparing for a new restaurant tax that will go into effect on October 1st. The Grayson Tourism Commission held an informational meeting last Thursday to discuss the new restaurant tax and answer any questions that restaurant owners might have about the tax. Some business owners were concerned about the stewardship of the tax revenue. Grayson Mayor George Steele says the City Council cannot tell the Tourism Commission how to use the money.
There's a flaw in the law there. While we can't tell them how to spend that money, you know, we're still the ones that have to pass the tax. But we had talked about this with a previous tourism group, and they, as a matter of fact, they were the ones that brought the suggestion, the idea of the restaurant tax to my office to build the park with.
6 months of the restaurant tax will be collected before any money is paid toward building the new sports complex. Steele says he feels like that will give the Tourism Commission enough time to decide if the revenue will meet expectations.
Thanks to some federal government money funneled to it by the Kentucky Department of Local Government, Maysville will be building a new park. The DLG is giving the town a $75,000 50-50 matching grant for the project. City Manager Matt Wallingford says those funds will be used to redevelop a two-acre site on Maysville's east side where a dilapidated warehouse currently sits.
What we plan on doing, we plan on having an actual full court for basketball, a walking trail, probably a shelter and some playground equipment, and there'll be plenty of parking space. So it's going to be great for that end of town.
Wallingford says the owner of the property agreed to give it to the city for free, provided it could get money to fix up the site. He hopes work on the new park will start this winter, but believes that it's more likely to happen in the spring. The DLG grant stipulates that Maysville complete the project within 3 years.
A police chief that was fired by Flatwoods has settled his lawsuit against the Greenup County town. WMKY's Tilden Johnson reports.
Ron Hawkins was the chief of police in Flatwoods from July 2012 until he was relieved of his duties by the city council in May of 2014. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, city council members accused Hawkins of insubordination, inefficiency, conduct unbecoming of a police officer, and violating the city's personnel policy. Hawkins responded by suing Flatwoods for wrongful termination, claiming his firing was not legal. He also leveled several charges of his own against a number of Flatwoods officials and employees. To settle the suit, the city has paid Hawkins $30,000. However, it does not admit to any wrongdoing, and the former chief of police must pay his own attorney fees and legal costs. For WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson reporting.
Boyd County's new prosecutor will be sworn into office on October 10th. Rhonda Copley was named to the post after the former Commonwealth's attorney for the state's 32nd Judicial Circuit, David Justice, passed away in August. Copley says number one goal will be to help in the fight against the area's drug epidemic.
The first thing I'm going to do, and I already have my meeting set up, are with our law enforcement agencies. Sitting down with them, seeing their thoughts, working with them to get the cases, in process, to get them litigated, to get trials set. That's the first step.
Copley is a graduate of Boyd County High School and Center College. She's in the process of closing her private practice in Ashland as she prepares to become the county's new Commonwealth's attorney.
Fort Campbell soldiers have deployed to Puerto Rico to help with relief efforts after Hurricane Maria tore up the island, killing at least 16 people and leaving millions without power and water. A statement from the Army post on the Kentucky-Tennessee line says an element of the 101st Airborne Division, dubbed Team Medevac, left Wednesday for Puerto Rico. The statement says the team is comprised of more than 70 personnel and 8 Medevac Black Hawk helicopters. Major Curtis Evick, who is commanding the team, says the soldiers will, quote, help save lives and mitigate suffering. He says they will stay on the island as long as they are needed.
More Kentucky students graduated from high school and earned qualifying scores on advanced placement tests, according to newly released state assessment data. Overall achievement increased slightly for elementary and middle school students, but was down slightly for high school students. Kentucky's four-year graduation rate rose to 89.8% from 88.6% last year. Nearly 52,000 students took advanced placement tests, with nearly 26,000 earning qualifying scores. The overall composite ACT score for Kentucky high school juniors rose to 19.8 from 19.2. We'll take a look at Rowan County's report card during today's feature segment.
Senate Republicans are reckoning with an insurgents' win in Alabama that poses clear threats to their own grip on power and the leadership of Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Nearly $10 million spent by a McConnell-backed super PAC couldn't save incumbent GOP Senator Luther Strange, who had been endorsed by President Donald Trump as well. It came the same day that McConnell, short of votes, pulled the plug on the latest and possibly final GOP effort to repeal and replace Obamacare. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight mostly clear with a low around 50 degrees. On Friday, sunny with a high near 73. Friday night mostly clear with low around 49. On Saturday, sunny with a high near 68. Saturday night clear with a low around 45. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 73, Sunday night mostly clear, and a low around 49 degrees. In Ashland right now, it's 78 degrees, Winchester it's 74, and Inez 75, Flemingsburg 74, Lexington 75, and here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 76 degrees. On our feature segment this afternoon, state school assessment results were released today. Leanne Akers has a report on Rowan County.
Assessment numbers are in, and the Rowan administration is already making changes. 62.1% of Rowan students are not considered ready for kindergarten. Rowan Superintendent Marvin Moore says parents could do more.
We put out all kinds of materials and booklets to encourage parents to work with their kids at home. If we get them at the preschool level, 3- and 4-year-olds, we hope by the time they get to the kindergarten level, they would be kindergarten ready. But we've heard this adage all the time, it takes a village, and we've got to have the parents who work with us and work with the child to get them kindergarten ready.
Rowan County students in elementary school are performing below the state average in most Kentucky performance rating for educational progress criteria. While the students are slightly above the state average in writing and social studies, they are 9.8 points below average in language mechanics, 5.2 points below average in mathematics, and 2.5 points below in reading. Moore says the rubber hits the road in the classroom.
We put a plan in place to make sure that everybody's very focused on those areas in the reading and math, and we will really, really continue to work hard this year and stay focused in those areas, and hopefully by 18-19, when the accountability, the new accountability system is going to kick in, that we will have a difference there as well.
Moore says his faculty and staff do everything they can to improve the learning experience for Rowan students.
We put a plan in place to make sure that everybody's very focused on those areas in the reading and math, and we will really, really continue to work hard this year and stay focused in those areas. And hopefully by 18-19, when the accountability, the new accountability system is going to kick in, that we will have a difference there as well.
By comparison, Rowan County's middle school scored 0.2% higher than the state average in reading and just over 10 points above the state average in math. Moore attributes that success to the middle school's outstanding staff. In writing, Rowan County High School students came in 16.5 points below the state average. Moore says the district administration has had numerous meetings with high school leaders to put a plan in place for improvement.
Trying to provide all the resources we can provide at all levels to make a difference. And of course, there's one area that we always work to try to improve on, that's your math scores. Our math scores are really is not up to where we want them to be and where they need to be, and we're really going to be focusing hard at the high school in our math department.
Rowan High School students had a 19.3 average composite ACT score, which is 0.5 points below the state average. The graduation rate is 95.6%, nearly 5 points above the state average. Moore says test scores don't tell the full story.
You can't base a particular school or whatever level, would be elementary, middle, or high, you can't base on what kind of education is going on in that building strictly on test results. So we try to educate the whole child, and we will focus on that.
For WMKY News, I'm Leanna Akers. It's 448 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
For newly ousted UofL basketball coach Rick Pitino, say justice will be served. Here's Haley Hansen.
Pitino's lawyer released a statement on his behalf saying the coach's firing will now follow its legal course. He goes on to say that the information disclosed thus far in the investigation is, quote, clearly insufficient to implicate Coach Pitino in any type of misconduct. He says the rush to judgment is regrettable. The statement ends by saying from here on out, Pitino's primary concern is for the well-being of his players, claiming the facts will inevitably exonerate him. I'm Haley Hansen.
Meanwhile, CBS News is reporting that Coach 2 mentioned in the affidavit regarding the recruiting scandal at UofL is in fact Rick Pitino. The document mentions multiple meetings that Coach 2 had where he discussed payments that needed to be made to recruits. University interim president Greg Postal said UofL does know the identity of everyone involved, but cannot release names at this time. One last note from Louisville, multiple reports now say that Bellarmine head coach Scotty Davenport is strongly in the mix to take over for Pitino at U of L as the interim coach for this upcoming season. One note from the NBA, according to ESPN, the NBA's Board of Governors voted to pass legislation on draft lottery reform. As part of the new rules, the teams with the three worst records in the league will now all share a 14% chance of landing the number one pick in the draft. The changes were put into place to try and prevent teams from tanking. The Cincinnati Reds are wrapping up their series with the Milwaukee Brewers today. It's the rubber match of the series after Milwaukee took the first game 7-6, and with Cincy winning last night's game 6-0. Currently, the two teams are locked at zero in the third inning. After today, the Reds are off to Chicago to end the season with a three-game series with the NL Central leading Cubs. One other game from the MLB today, Cleveland topped Minnesota 5-2. The Morehead State football team hits the road tomorrow for Saturday's PFL game at Campbell. Coach Rob Tenier hopes his 2-2 Eagles will carry some momentum into the contest from their 34-28 upset win of conference favorite Dayton last Saturday.
A huge win at home. Which a lot of people didn't think that we had an opportunity to win. And so when you're able to do that, I hope that, you know, that springboards us here into week two, week three, and gives us more confidence as we prepare for a very talented Campbell team.
Campbell is also 2-2 this year. The run-oriented Camels beat Stetson 49-21 in their league opener last Saturday. Kentucky is turning the page from last weekend's tough loss to number 21 Florida as it prepares to host Eastern Michigan on Saturday. UK coach Mark Stoops says his 3-1 Cats will be facing a sound team.
Just a very good football team. They have some impressive games this year. You know, winning on the road at Rutgers is a big win. And I thought, you know, I really know and watch, you know, Ohio and the fact that they took them to such a close game and really had some great opportunities to win that game is impressive.
Eastern Michigan is 2-1 after losing to Mid-American Conference foe Ohio 27-20 last weekend. The Round County football team will be at home tomorrow night for a district showdown. Coach Kelly Ford's 1-5 Vikings will face off with Greenup County at 7:30. The Musketeers have a 4-2 record.
Greenup County is another good football team. Coach Grizzle's over there doing a great job. He's in his third year of returning him around, and they beat East Carter 43-7. It's going to be a very, very tough, another tough task for us.
Greenup's wide-open offense is scoring over 30 points a game. The Musketeers are led by sophomore quarterback Eli Sammons, who's passed for 1,352 yards to go along with 16 touchdowns. Also in prep football tomorrow, Morgan County will try to build on last week's win against Estill County, when Coach Mark Easterling's 2-4 Cougars visit rival McGoffin County, who's also 2-4.
If we can start this season off being 2-0 in a district, man, that'll be a huge confidence builder for this young team. So we got to go make sure that we show up and play, not trying to do anything over the top or do anything special. We just got to play the game of football, be sound, be disciplined, and hopefully we can sneak out another victory.
Other games, West Carter visits Bath, Ashland Blazer faces rival Boyd, East Carter travels to Johnson Central, Fleming's at Russell, and Sheldon Clark visits Lawrence County. Thursday night football in the NFL features a pair of longtime rivals. WMKY's Greg Jenkins reports.
The Chicago Bears will visit Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers in tonight's matchup. The 1-2 Bears are coming off last Sunday's overtime win against Pittsburgh, while 2-1 Green Bay will look to build off of Sunday's comfort-behind victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. The all-time series record between the two rivals is locked at 94-94-6. A win tonight for the Packers could give Green Bay its first lead in the series since 1932. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Morehead State soccer team travels to Illinois this weekend for two matches. Even though his team is just 2-7-1 on the year, head coach Warren Lipka says after last Sunday's 4-2 win over UT Martin, his group is starting to gain some confidence.
I mean, any time you score that many goals, it's going to give you some confidence and give you the thoughts that we're going in the right direction.
MSU will battle SIU Edwardsville on Friday and Eastern Illinois on Sunday. Finally in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team is at Weatherby Gym this weekend for a pair of OVC contests. Coach Jamie Gordon is getting his Eagles ready to host Jacksonville State tomorrow at 7 and Tennessee Tech on Saturday at 2.
Offensively, we're getting some really good production in the middle and right side. We've still got some work to do on our back row defense and trying to find a way to steal some points. You know, but overall, I think there's some good foundation there, and the team chemistry is really solid as well.
MSU is 0-2 in conference after dropping matches to Belmont and Tennessee State in Nashville last weekend. The Eagles are 9-6 overall. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
From MSU Athletics. Volleyball will host Jacksonville State at 7 p.m. tomorrow night and Tennessee Tech at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Markets finished modestly higher and the small cap Russell 2000 index hit an all-time high after the release of the GOP's highly anticipated tax reform plan. And the Dow Industrials did have a gain of 40.49, finishing at 22,381.20. The S&P 500 was up 3.02 at 2510.06, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 0.19, just eking out a very small gain to finish at 6453.45. The small-cap Russell 2000 index erased opening losses to hit an all-time high. Many market strategists expect the smaller market capitalization stocks to benefit more than large-cap stocks from the proposed tax reform. McDonald's rose more than 2% after a major brokerage firm raised its rating for the restaurant chain to buy from neutral, this on expectations that McDonald's sales will top Wall Street estimates. Materials and real estate stocks led S&P 500 advancers. Only the industrials and consumer discretionary stock sectors closed lower. Major technology-related stocks steadied after large declines earlier in the week. Apple and Netflix closed less than 1% lower, while Facebook and Amazon each closed up about 0.5%. And Roku, which sells streaming video players, shot up more than 50% above its IPO price in its first day of trading. In economic news, the final read on U.S. second quarter gross domestic product showed a 3.1% increase. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1% to finish at $51.60 a barrel. Gold was up 0.2% at $1,290.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were mixed with the Nikkei up 0.5% and the Hang Seng index down about 0.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were McDonald's and ExxonMobil, and the worst performers were Disney and United Technologies. In the S&P 500, the best performers were McCormick and AbbVie, and the worst performers were Navient and TripAdvisor. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 19 cents at $65.58, CSX down 14 cents at $53.69, AEP up 19 cents at $70.50, AK Steel up 13 cents at $5.50, Marathon Petroleum up 22 cents at $55.46, and Anthem was up $3.31 to finish at $189.76. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where quality candy is their business. The rich aroma of fine chocolate greets customers as they enter the factory store at 550 North Maysville Road in Mount Sterling or at 213 Walton Avenue in Lexington. Ruth Hunt Candies is Kentucky proud, with traditional Kentucky confections like cream candy and Blue Mondays, as well as other Kentucky-made specialty foods, licensed University of Kentucky products, and equine gifts. Online shopping available at RuthHuntCandy.com.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast, mostly clear tonight with a low around 50 degrees. On Friday, sunny with a high near 73. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 49. On Saturday, sunny with a high near 68 degrees. Saturday night, clear with low around 45. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 73. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 49. In Ashland right now, it's 78 degrees. In Winchester, 74. Inez, 75. Flemingsburg, 74. Lexington, 75. And here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 76 degrees.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Greg Jenkins, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Braxton Howard, Tilden Johnson, and Ellen Barnett. Also pitching in today is KNN's Will Clark. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and Translator W202VH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.